When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey man, how's the book coming that we're writing? How's that going?
Yeah, it's we almost got started like a couple months ago.
We did almost get started.
Okay, that's about where we left off. I think
that's right. I think we both had an assignment to finish like a chapter each by the end of the week, which was like what, 6 weeks ago?
At least I think it was more like March.
I'm gonna say 6 weeks, just because then if it's March, either my sense of time is like skewed in this dimension or. I don't know what, but there is a middle way, as the Buddhists say, and that is you can actually hire someone to write our book. Like I'm saying, you can do that.
Really? Let's do it.
Let's do it. But you know the type of person that we need.
What do we need?
We need a ghostwriter, man.
Oh, I'm scared of ghosts.
Yeah, well, you won't be scared of this one because you know, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Marketing Geeks. Yeah, so if you're afraid of ghosts, I would definitely skip ahead 30 seconds because we've got some bills to pay, so hang tight.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Our first guest is a ghostwriter. Not a ghost, but a ghostwriter. And he will help you write your book, which saves a lot of time because I love being a writer, but I hate all that paperwork. This guy... we'll do all the paperwork for you. Ladies and gentlemen, Josh Lysak.
Hey, fellas. Glad to be here with you today.
Did I say your last name right? I always mess up guest names. So how'd that go?
You got it right. You're one of about three people on the planet who got it right.
Oh, my God. That's like that. There's one for me. Right there.
Deserves extra applause.
So thank you for being on the show. And I want to find out, first of all, a little bit, why don't you give us, because you definitely have a mastery of what you're doing and you know how to leverage it. Can you give us your resume in a nutshell?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So rewinding the clock a little bit, after I got a 2-book publishing deal for myself, as a novelist, getting my own books out there, starting as an author, I have found myself working with a lot of A-list celebrity types, entrepreneurs, thought leaders, everybody from that level on down to great grandma who wants to share her story growing up in the war with the grandkids. I'm, as you mentioned, a ghostwriter. A ghostwriter is not somebody who puts together 300 words of drivel, you stamp your name on it, and then you sell it. That is not how the ghostwriting process works. I think of myself as an actor in print. It's my job to portray my clients authentically on the page, taking their best ideas, the best stories, and creating a literary masterpiece that they're proud of. Not only that they're proud of, but one that when their clients, customers, colleagues, and even kids read, they cannot tell they worked with a ghostwriter.
I love that. I love that. That's such a cool metaphor, the way that you describe it there. Now, I wanted to just share for our listeners here that you're just not any ghostwriter. So I was kind of reading through your bio. You've actually worked with some of the top level companies, and you've been featured on the TED with TED, TEDx, BBC Radio London, American Express. So you've written my understanding is you've written books or you've written articles for a lot of these companies. Is that right? Or tell me a little bit about like your experience, like these major companies that you've been associated with. Have you been writing books, articles? Like what kind of things have you done for them?
I go through everything from a 300-word LinkedIn article for top CEOs all the way up to a 300-page book that's an international bestseller. And quite a bit of my advice around book writing, book publishing, book marketing, and how to have a book be the key that opens any treasure chest for your business. I've written about that quite extensively and been featured online, kind of all over the internet on how to do that. And so I see my job as a ghostwriter is not, oh, I turn out a Word document or a PDF, goodbye. But more so, I see myself as a literary partner whose job is to help you produce as much return on investment as possible from the book writing, publishing, and promoting process.
So it's not just the writing. You actually step in and help kind of navigate the stuff that comes after.
Absolutely. I've created, I know a lot of listeners are going to be familiar with the Blue Ocean strategy. I've created a Blue Ocean for my authors. What I've done is I've combined the best aspects of traditional publishing, such as quality, such as distribution, such as reach. And I've combined that with the best of self-publishing, like complete editorial control, higher royalties, you launch on your timeline. So I've taken the best of the best of both of those worlds, and I've brought it into a system that I call ghost publishing. Of course, it's kind of like, you know, ghostwriting, right? So when you're working with a ghostwriter, someone else does all the work, you take all the credit. With ghost publishing, someone else does all the work of launching an independent publishing imprint, an actual business, right alongside your existing brand, your existing business, to release and distribute your book, and you literally get to sit back and cash the royalty checks. It's a lot of fun because you're not buying a Word document from a ghostwriter. You're literally buying a business.
Wow, that's pretty incredible. Now, can you give us a kind of a breakdown about like when, because there's two parts to this. First of all, I want to find out how clients find you and what the process is from the moment you consult with them through the writing and kind of the step-by-step process that you take people through.
Sure. There's a couple of different ways that clients find me. And one of which, as you could probably imagine, is the most effective form of marketing, word of mouth. So what will often happen is when an author that I work with, they have a big, exciting launch, their peers, their friends, even their mentors will say, damn, I saw that book. It did really well. I read it. I loved it. I don't know how you could write that well, but I need to write that well. Can you give me your secret? And of course they say, well, actually my secret is a man named Joshua Lysak. Let me hook you up. So about half of my clients come to me from word of mouth, and the other half actually find me on Google. I'm a bit of a prolific video creator, all authentic, uncensored, raw, real videos in which I look at top questions that people have about book writing, book publishing, book marketing, and how to make it a profitable experience for you. So I have almost 100 videos on my YouTube channel on all things profitable publishing. And about half of my clients find me just from my YouTube videos. They'll binge watch my channel, and I'll hear from them 48 hours later, and they're ready to sign a contract and get started. So that's how they find me. How do we end up working together? Well, it looks a little bit different with everyone. Some people, as you can imagine, they come to me with nothing more than a one-page outline. Other people, they give me a block of marble, and I am Michelangelo carving out everything not David. So I had one particular client. He brought me altogether 250,000 words worth of material, transcripts from webinars, articles, videos, trainings, courses, blogs, ebooks, everything you can imagine. And he said, can you find a book here? So that was a fun process. In terms of commitment, you know, a lot of people think that a ghostwriter, like, man, you got to talk to them, you know, 8 hours a day for several days. It's kind of a long-term thing. My objective is to get from you the stories, the experiences, those anecdotes that I can't really find elsewhere in your body of work online or in interviews that you've given. And so over time, I've ghostwritten over 40 books. And the best process that I found is all we need maximum is usually an hour a week together for 2 or 3 months. And that alone is how we're able to elicit the entire scope of the manuscript and then some, in addition to any other material that I might need or third-party research that I might conduct. So it's a blast of a process that you don't have to get up at 5 every morning, stare at a Word document for 5 hours, hope something comes out, and go on that process forever. So it's definitely one that allows for authors to spend their time doing what they do best, which is probably not staring at a blank Word document for 5 hours every morning.
Now, do you find that somebody that comes to you with a just that one page outline, are you still able to kind of turn that around in 2 to 3 months, or do those ones tend to be a little bit longer on the timetable wise?
Yes, and with regard to the timing, it's usually about 2 to 3 months that we need together to really fill out the outline or at least the book idea. There are a few months after that where we actually flesh out the chapters, going one chapter at a time. We get to a first draft. They give me some feedback on that first draft, and then we reshape it into a second draft. And then from there, they'll share it with their colleagues, their mentors, get a few pointers here and there, maybe move a chapter around, that sort of a thing. And then we have a final draft. And the process is as short as 5 months, beginning to end, of, you know, starting, hey, we have something, and then now we're done 5 months later.
So as a ghostwriter, do you ever have like an ego check where you're like, you want to take credit because you see that you wrote a book and it becomes an international bestseller, and then you have to kind of keep your mouth shut? Does that ever get hard?
No, for two reasons. Number one, unlike most ghostwriters out there, I'm actually a published author myself. So before I was legal drinking age here in the States, I had a two book publishing deal, as I mentioned, kind of a lifelong bucket list dream I'm achieving at 20 years old. And so I went through going to the book fairs and signing the copies and meeting my fans and really getting that kind of authorship trip at a young age. And now what I find more rewarding is the personal praise from my authors, where they say things to me over and over, like, Josh, you are the X factor. Without you, this would not happen. And lo and behold, there are actually a few authors that I've had that have released me from the confidentiality agreement. They say, yeah, screw the NDA, I'm going to make it public that I work with you. So I've gotten several unsolicited testimonial videos and invitations to put together case studies where the author will say, like, you know what, you may be a very rich person, Joshua. Here's a video detailing how we did it. Put it up on your YouTube, put it up on your website, and let's broadcast it to the world. So in those cases, I'm very proud and of course, honored to share the story. And those have been very profitable for me, because when people see proof of concept, even down to the dollars, they're like, yeah, you're the ghostwriter for me. I will not consider anyone else.
Love that.
So why would someone want to write a book? Like, what would be the driving force that would, like, in what conditions would be best to hire you to do that?
Because you see yourself as an ACE, A-C-E, the acronym. You see yourself becoming a greater authority. You see yourself boosting your credibility. And you see yourself establishing you as the go-to expert in your industry. So what are the tangible benefits of becoming the authority, the credible person, the go-to expert in your industry? Well, as I said, writing a book is the key that can open just about any treasure chest in your business. When I look at my book of clients, there's a line of demarcation in their career. There's a BC and AD or a BCE and CE kind of division in their career. There's before they wrote their book and there's after they wrote their book. So before, they a lot of them, especially the entrepreneurial types who want the authority, credibility, and expertise that a book lends, they want more speaking engagements. They want invitations to give keynotes. They want customers to find them. They want to have an additional tool that introduces the masses, not just, you know, kind of their market, their clientele, but the masses to their ideas, their strategy, their framework. And of course, they want an entry-level product that can build trust and build authority with readers and introduce them to their ideas so that it's much easier and much faster to sell them up into maybe their mastermind or their program or to their course, that sort of a thing. And when it comes to specific returns, I always like to reference the author of Guerrilla Marketing, Jay Conrad Levinson, and a quote that's attributed to him. Someone asked Jay how much he made from Guerrilla Marketing, and the answer he always gave was $10 million. The book itself, in terms of royalties, only paid about $30,000, but the consulting, the coaching, the speaking, the spinoff programs, the books that came later, those amounted to the remaining $9,970,000. And it's a similar story for my authors, where maybe they only sell a couple hundred copies of the book, but that's enough to give them a multiple six-figure business and a waiting list for the first time in their career. Or they use a book to build a $1 million product funnel. or they use it to get high profile media appearances, or they use it to get investors. There's so many different uses for a book, but it really all depends on what you're going for. And that's my job, is to help you write the book that's going to achieve your specific goals.
Yeah. And I work with a lot of clients that have, they've written books and they've done exactly what you're saying. And it's interesting because I've learned over time that, yeah, there's not necessarily money in the sales of the books. The money's made on the back end in these indirect ways. And not everybody can see the big picture, because it's kind of funny, because I talk to some people that are, they want to write a book, but they're thinking in terms of they're going to make all their money off the sales of the book. But really, and what you've described here is that the value of having a book is the authority and the prestige build, the added a value to your introduction when you're introduced on the stage, plus it's giving you access to people you normally don't have access to. In a lot of ways, I feel like the podcast has been like kind of a step one for us to build our authority in a similar way to writing a book, not quite the same, but in somewhat of a similar way.
I thought it was a step one from not like holding a cardboard sign on the corner.
That's true, our
podcast is just like, you know, one step up from that. So a book would be like several.
That's how Marketing Geek started. We had a cardboard sign on the street corners and we're like, listen to our podcast, but we've evolved so far.
We're podcast then. For dinner. We're podcast for food.
Pretty much. There's a couple of questions I have around this. The primary one being, how do you write? Because my mom knew Ray Bradbury and asked him, how do you write so much? And he said, ATC, ass to chair. And I can't do it, as like it's hard for me. How do you motivate yourself to keep writing and making these things happen?
The interesting thing is that going from author to professional ghostwriter, I realized that writer's block was a figment of my imagination. I am going to, in the next 5 minutes, cure your writer's block forever. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
I'm so ready for this. I've been waiting my whole life.
Okay. Writer's block is done. In 3, 2, 1, let's go. You, as an aspiring author, you are going to be writing your book in a category that already exists, meaning that whether it's web marketing or alternative therapies or woo-woo spirituality, your readers out there are already reading books. And it just so happens that there are these little handy doodads called reviews. And your future readers have been leaving them for both best-selling and obscure books in the categories that you're going to be writing in. This is kind of borrowed from a piece, an ultimate guide that I wrote for Founder Magazine a few months ago. In order to narrow down what you should write about, so you're not having this paradox where you want to say everything, but you don't know where to start, which is the strangest form of writer's block there is. In order to get over that for good, what you need to do is you need to go over to Amazon, or Goodreads or Barnes & Noble or whatever your chosen review platform is for books. And you want to go and look at the best-selling books. You know, pick four to start with, because when you're writing a book proposal, you compare your book to four different bestsellers, four different perennial titles in your categories. So let's just start with four. I would like for you to ignore the 1-star and 5-star reviews for now, because pieces in the New York Times and an Entrepreneur have both found that those reviews tend to be left by haters and by superfans. So we don't tend to place as much credibility in those. So what you want to do is you want to look at the 2, 3, and 4-star reviews, the middle of the road neutral reviews on books in your category. Again, just pick four, the top four best-selling right now, and look for a couple of specific types of feedback. Number one, where do these existing authors, where do they overpromise and underdeliver? As we all know, the table of contents, the book description, the synopsis, authors want to promise the world to their readers, right? Because they want you to buy the book. Well, go to those 2, 3, and 4-star reviews, and you'll notice things like reviewers saying, you know, I bought this book to get a specific formula for X, and I only got one paragraph on X. Where was the chapter? And you'll see that type of feedback over and over and over again. Maybe I should include a chapter on X topic in my book. I hadn't thought of that, But here I am seeing hundreds of people saying that they want this out of the next book. I should probably go ahead and obey my customers here. Another piece of feedback you want to look for is what the writer, the author said that readers are sick of reading. Strangely enough, you'll see this often where people will say things like, man, I was looking for a fresh take on topic Y, but I got the same old tired advice that I've seen in the last 10 books that I've read. I'm looking for a unique take, one I haven't seen before, one that's backed up by the data. I haven't seen that yet. I bought the book to get it, but the author did not deliver. And maybe you're thinking, wow, I'm an expert at that. I hadn't even thought about writing a topic there. Maybe I should go, and include a chapter or section on that. It's also possible that topic Y, which people are sick of seeing, that was your entire book idea. So it's back to the drawing board there, folks. And you have just saved yourself, a very unfortunate broken dream, writing a book that nobody wants. Now you can go back and you can reshape your idea and actually write for what people want. So this is a way that you can eliminate all the things you could write about and give your future readers what they actually want. So when you can brainstorm and free write, you can free write within the space you know is going to be profitable because your future readers have told you themselves, I bought this book to learn this, and the author didn't deliver. And you, my friend, can be the one who delivers.
I love that. So you're basically looking for gaps in the market by just analyzing the 2 to 4 star reviews. It's funny, we had Pat Flynn, if you're familiar with him, he's a big podcaster.
Oh, yes, I know Pat.
He talked about that, except he talked about looking at the 3 star, like around those reviews, more in regards to podcasting, but it's the same kind of thing. You're looking for the gaps and trying to provide value where it's missing. So I love that insight. Is that something like when you're pitching, like, I'm just curious if you've ever, because you talked about doing book proposals for publishers. Do you do that often? And if you do, do you mention that in the proposal that you would say, like, I've noticed that there's a gap in the market in this specific area? Would you elaborate on that?
Yes, I do quite a few book proposals for people who want to take the traditional path. But most of my clients, they have kind of the entrepreneurial mindset. Yeah. So they're thinking, I want my book released yesterday. I want it done right the first time. I don't want some editor in New York City telling me what I can and cannot say. So most of the time, they want to take an independent path, such as the one provided by Ghost Publishing. But in the context of a proposal, absolutely. We take those top 4 titles that you see as kind of being like, my readers for sure have read these 4 books. Let's say you're in the entrepreneurial space, right? Well, maybe they've read a recent one like Traction, right? That's all about systematizing your business. Well, one that's a lot older, but perennial title might be The E-Myth. So if you're coming out with a book on, working on your business, then you're going to talk about Traction and The E-Myth as books that are in the same space as yours, but you cover things that they don't. So absolutely, you want to highlight how your book is different, how your book takes a look at a topic in a way that these other books haven't before. So if you're going the route of a book proposal, you want to pick 4 books that are comparable. Ones that are recent, ones that are perennial within the last decade or so, kind of the consistent bestsellers. So for example, maybe if you're in web marketing, right, then obviously Gary Vaynerchuk's Crush It. It's 10 years old now, but that might be one that you include and kind of fill some gaps there. So maybe yours is super specific and tactical, and you take and say, Gary Vee's first book, it was awesome. It was motivational, but it was kind of general. And here what my book does is we get to specific actionable tips, step-by-step processes, for example. But that advice is relevant whether you want to go the route of the book proposal, you're okay with your book coming out 3 years or more from now, or you want your book out yesterday and you want speed and efficiency as part of the process.
Now, so we've talked a lot about like using the book for personal branding. I do want to talk a little bit about like traditional marketing of just getting more book sales too. So, because I'm kind of curious how when somebody releases the book, do you give them kind of a roadmap on promotion? Are you sending them on podcasts, for instance, and doing podcast interviews? I know that a lot of authors are kind of taking that path these days. And do you also do like the Amazon bestseller campaigns? Do you push to get them like a number one bestseller on Amazon? Or how important do you see that is as a added credibility booster? Can you talk about that?
All of the above. We leave no stone of profit unturned in the book launch process. So one of the smartest ways to get as many book sales as fast as possible is this. And you'll see every Wall Street Journal, USA Today, New York Times bestseller follow this same model. And so, of course, we do as well at the Entrepreneur's Wordsmith. It goes like this. In your book, you want to give as much away of the farm, as we say here in Ohio, as possible. Give everything away. Every technique, tactic, tip, step-by-step process. Don't worry, like, well, people, well, they won't want to, you know, they won't want to hire me or buy my course if I give everything away. That's the entire point. So it goes like this. When you give all of your best tips away in one place, this becomes the Bible of your brand. You can always refer back to, repurpose for keynote speeches and webinars, etc. But more practically speaking, you want people reading the book and feeling a little overwhelmed about implementing all of it. So many different, like maybe let's go for digital marketing, right? Because everyone's familiar with that. So maybe you have chapters on copywriting formulas, webinar marketing, email marketing. You have stuff on reputation management and reviews and getting more ratings. You have something on video and you have social media advertising. Like you've got an entire digital marketing department in 300 pages. And so your readers are going to feel a little overwhelmed, like, wow, where do I start? How do I know? What do I do? You know, there's scripts and all this. So what you want to do is create a library of free resources, content upgrades that makes it easier, faster, and cheaper to implement everything in the book. For example, in this hypothetical digital marketing book, perhaps there's a chapter on building a profitable funnel for a services business. Well, how do you make implementing everything in that chapter faster, cheaper, easier? Well, maybe you have a ClickFunnels membership that you have. And what you've done is you have designed all of the landing pages, basically the funnel, maybe in ClickFunnels, that you recommend in the book. And so there's a little nice little call out box, maybe at the end of the chapter on funnel building, to download my plug and play funnel where you can get started making money for your services business as soon as possible. Today, even go to nameofthebook.com/resources or /upgrade or /freebies, something like that. So the reader sees that and they don't perceive it as an advertisement. They perceive it as you looking out for it. Wow, you're making it easier, faster, and cheaper for me to implement what's in the book. I don't have to do it myself. Oh my God, that's amazing. And just do that. Chapter after chapter after chapter. You don't have to be in digital marketing to do this. You can be in health and wellness, and maybe it's like recipe guides and it's videos for doing some complex exercises that maybe you had pictures of in the book. Well, you can go get the free actual step-by-step, you know, yoga poses or whatever that's in a kind of a library of content upgrades. And of course, you know, for the nice little exchange of their email, right? You go from having a reader to a leader. Well, not a lead, but a leader. A lead, you know, not a leader, but, you know, from reading to leading, you get the point, right? They become part of your email list at that point.
I mean, it's a great path, and it you know, it makes a lot of sense, you know, and that's definitely how the people that we've talked to that are most successful, they do that exact same thing.
I just want to say real quick, Andres, I want to add this, because meanwhile, while you're sending people to ClickFunnels, when he was just to add to his point there, you're making 40% of their monthly residuals on ClickFunnels. That's the affiliate program they have there. So these affiliate offers are awesome to, and they come across as resources. So I love that little insight, but go ahead, Andres.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's a nice way to maximize like how you make money. You know, we've done shows on affiliate linking, and that's completely right. But so what are some of the methodologies that you use to get people like bestseller status on Amazon? I've heard that there are techniques that you can do, much like SEO. How does one do that type of process?
There's the art and the science. While we're on the topic of constant upgrades, let's talk about the art. So again, you'll see every best-selling campaign in the world follows this particular art form of getting as many sales as possible to rocket up the bestseller rankings, whether it's New York Times or it's Amazon. So on the topic of content upgrades, create a specific expiring content upgrade that's related to the topic of your book. One of the more popular ones I'm doing with my authors, and you'll see with other authors out there, is a live Q&A with the author. Maybe it's a week or two after the book launch, but you have to buy the book within 24 hours, 48 hours of, you know, the pre-release, the pre-sale coming out, or the actual launch of the book itself. You forward either you forward your order confirmation email to a special email address, or you click a specific link in the Book Lodge email, and that gets you that content upgrade where you can talk directly to the author about questions you have on the topic. Ask your question. You'll get that one-on-one time with a famous expert on the topic. If you don't, you know, want to do the webinar, maybe you could pull some of your premium content from your course library and make that available as an additional content upgrade to start taking action immediately on what's in the book. So, you know, in any market, the problem for readers nowadays, your customers, your readers, the problem is not information. I'm seeing a lot of people in kind of the Twitter gurus who are talking about this nowadays, you know, especially in the world of entrepreneurship, is that information and the lack of it is not the problem. It's implementation. So whatever you can do to help people implement your ideas and get results, again, faster, cheaper, easier, is going to go a long way to building that trust and that authority. So having there be, you know, an expiring bonus that has a monetary value, a fantastic monetary value, maybe the paperback's $15, but the course that you get and plus the Q&A webinar is worth $1,500, right? Well, that's a stupid easy deal. Of course you're going to say yes. That's the art of the bestseller book launch. The science is, as you can imagine, kind of playing with Amazon a little bit. And there's one way that we often do that is
99 cents.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, 99 cents. That's one way. Another way, when you are listing a book on Amazon, you get two categories to list your book in. All you have to do is go to, let's say you're using the Kindle Direct Publishing platform for your paperback and for your Kindle book, go to Contact Us and go shoot KDP a message and say, hey, I would like to list my book in these 8 additional categories for 10 total shots at bestseller status. Doing that can literally 5x your chances of reaching number one bestseller in a specific category. Now, then what you want to do when you reach that number one best-selling spot, take a screenshot of how your book is lording over all of these other very, you know, very famous, very well-known, even celebrity authors, and share that out with your email list, your followers, do a webinar about it, do a Facebook Live about it. Just don't be bashful about how your book today is selling much better in a hyper-competitive category than Gary Vee, for example. And then what's going to happen? Oh, wow, everyone's reading it? I know that famous celebrity. I follow them religiously on Instagram. I think I'll go check out your book. So I had one author, she literally doubled her book sales from just that one thing. It was from a screenshot and sharing it all over the place. So that's another way. And then when it comes to SEO, I have a tool that I love called Publisher Rocket you can check out. It tells you what are the keywords that you need to be targeting if you want to go for, you know, low competition but high monthly revenue from your book. So you know that if you're ranking well, it can actually tell you how much you can expect to make this month when your book comes out.
Wow, that's great. I'm checking that out.
Interesting. So I want to just reiterate a few points. I want to reiterate a few points you made there, because I'm thinking back to, like, when you talked about the art of marketing, I'm thinking to, again, Pat Flynn. I'm going to mention him one more time because he just launched a brand new book called Superfans. And the strategy that he used, because I'm on his email list, I bought the book, was that he gave the audiobook as an add-on if you pre-ordered it and you sent a receipt to his team. And then he did a live webinar where you had access to the author, pretty much exactly what you just said, except in action, live in action. There's an example of how he was doing it. So it's kind of cool to see that happening, like, kind of live in action. And then secondary, so you mentioned that you can just email Amazon Direct Publishing and ask to be put into 8 extra categories. Is that what you said? Or can you repeat that part again, how you do that?
Absolutely. It literally is as simple as that. So you want to make sure you've got a mix of definitely the competitive categories. So it's not like an obscure niche, like, say, oh, I'm writing a book on CBD oils. Oh, what's your category? I was a bestseller in New Testament biblical commentaries. Wrong. Okay, maybe 5 books sold that day and you beat that. But you don't really want to be that guy, that gal who comes along and says, you know, oh, look, I was a bestseller in a totally unrelated category. That's not really going to boost your credibility. That's like the opposite of persuasion. That's anti-suasion for your marketing. So you do want to pick some of the kind of the sub categories in your space. So maybe you have a book coming out about starting a one-person business. Well, there's a sub category within business and economics called home-based business. That's some competitive category, but you might have a better chance of getting bestseller in that category than if you just release in the general business category where you're competing with 80,000 authors, you know? So be smart about which categories you pick.
I could just picture that category being flooded with like spammy books, home-based business. I just think of like all these MLM and spammy books for some reason.
Well, you know, it's not 1997 anymore. I grew up in the direct sales world. I was an Amway kid, so I can definitely kind of got that taste in my mouth a little bit. But you know, that category specifically does have some network marketing books, but it also has some how to turn your idea into business you can start today type of books.
Yeah. And I'm in no way anti-network marketing. I'm just, there's a lot of people that still abuse it though. So it's not a general global statement on that. I just want to emphasize that. One more thing that you mentioned about like taking screenshots of when your book does pass. And we've done that with the podcast too, because the podcast rankings are so volatile over at Apple. So like, you know, in the past we've had like quick screenshots that last for like 10 seconds where we're ahead of Gary Vee or we're ahead of somebody like that. It's kind of fun to share those. So same kind of thing.
On Amazon, they update every hour. And if you have the sales coming in every hour, you know, and you're consistently ranking there, let people know that you're not a one hit wonder or a 1 hour wonder. You know, if I have clients that are hanging on there for several days, which I do have on a regular basis, that means you're dominating that category. And then you can share that and let people know, you know, this is just a real quick Instagram story or an email out to your people. Hey, if you haven't got the book, you're missing out because everybody else is already on the bandwagon getting their free content upgrades, such as this amazing live webinar with me coming up next Thursday. Get your copy of the book today. It's dominating. Look at all the titles it's beating out right now. Real simple, real easy. Goes right to book sales.
That's incredible. So what other types of marketing tools do you use? Like once it's on Amazon, you recommend sharing that through social. What about leveraging it for like talks and making money from appearances? Like what about beyond that?
Oh, yes. I have some hilarious stories from that. One of which is this. When I was at World Domination Summit, I'm sure some folks are familiar with that, the choose your own adventure conference out in Portland, Oregon, a couple of years ago. I met one of their speakers.
Be careful, that's a copyrighted term. You can't say choose your own adventure. You can only say branched narrative.
Oh, well, see, I spelled it wrong. The one with the typo, it's not copyrighted. So the transcript, the transcripts, it's spelled wrong. So it's okay. We're in the clear. In any case, the podcast, or not the podcast, the conference out there in Portland that I met one of the speakers, and this particular speaker, he was a debut author. He was getting all of these big time keynote speaking appearances. And I asked him, hey man, what's your secret? And he said, well, I wrote this book that shares the title of my keynote. And I just started mailing a copy of this book out to all the places that I had as kind of my dream keynote spots. And about half of them got back to me and they said, oh my gosh, you are amazing. We have to bring you out here. And he said, and I asked them, so what do you like about my book? What was that one thing that made you want to bring me out? And they said, oh, well, we didn't actually read your book. We just read the back cover jacket. You sounded like you know what you're talking about. So we decided to book you as a keynote. So in that case, just having a book Brilliant. By itself was enough to have that, again, authority, credibility, and expertise. Another client actually, what he does is he also mails a copy of his book with a handwritten note to his kind of dream 100 prospects to build authority. So in his case, it's a services business. He doesn't have to sell thousands and thousands of copies to make thousands and thousands of bucks in his business. So in his case, he doesn't even have to sell any copies. He just, you know, orders a short print run of author copies for $2 or $3 a piece, ships them out, you know, with a handwritten note. And that produces some amazing business because, as you can probably imagine, in a lot of industries, you as the CEO, the thought leader, would be the first person to write a book, to be able to say to your prospects, I'm the first person to write the book on our industry. And here's how we can help you get results in this industry. So that alone is fantastic for not just lead generation, but more specifically, appointment generation with some of the your ideal prospects that are out there. So getting the keynote speeches, getting the one-on-one opportunities, the services, businesses, those are great as well. But I want to share with you all today the best kept secret of revenue from a book.
Go on.
And the story comes actually. I'm sure that everyone here is familiar with Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of folklore that's built up around his brand.
Yeah, the guy owes me $10.
What's that?
I said he owes me $10.
He owes you $10. is there a bet there? What's the story?
No, he just like, I lent to, he needed $10. He was short. And I was just like, all right, dude. And then he just like never paid me back. It kind of sucks.
Oh man. So he's the rich dad. You're the poor dad.
Now, after the $10 just, transaction, you're right.
Yeah. $10 poorer.
Oh, gotcha. So the story about this best kept secret of revenue from a book comes from his world, and specifically Amway. So when Rich Dad Poor Dad came out, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of fanfare at the time. He was a debut author, a small press at the time. And the way that he became the household name of personal finance that he is today with the Rich Dad Enterprise is through a little thing called sponsorship. The story goes, Amway, of course, the multi-level marketing company that we were just talking shop about,
yep.
They worked together with him to order copies of Rich Dad, Poor Dad and send him across North America doing workshops and conferences and events. That's how my parents actually 20 something years ago got a copy of Rich Dad Poor Dad. They heard about him from one of the events that he did in collaboration with Amway. Of course, he spoke very highly of their business model in the cash flow quadrant that's in his book about becoming an actual business owner who owns an asset. In this case, the asset's a direct sales organization. But that same process of partnering with a big name brand or an organization to literally pay you to sell copies of your book, that is alive and well today. One of the people on my team that I work with at the Entrepreneur's Wordsmith, who I connect to my authors, her name is Linda. She was mentioned in Inc. as well as in Forbes as a world-leading expert on corporate sponsorship for authors. So it's real simple. It goes like this. You as an author, you're reaching a specific market, right? You're doing all these things to sell your book. Well, there are brands, businesses, corporations even, that want to reach the same customers, the same consumers that you're reaching. So why not tag team and make it more effective for everyone? So this can look like a Fortune 500 company. So in the case of Linda, companies that she's gotten to sponsor clients are anywhere from like American Airlines, Bank of America, Microsoft, Walmart, right? These truly A-list companies, on down to, you know, some software startups who want to reach the same people that you want to reach. So her job is to put together this proposal for sponsors, find the sponsors, negotiate the deals so that you can get paid the most as possible to sell books. A sponsorship for authors is anywhere from $10,000 to $100,000 a year. It's very common to have contract renewals. She helps with all that. So it's really cool because, again, these companies are paying you to promote your book and in so doing get valuable, very valuable brand awareness from shoppers that you know, and be top of mind with the same people that you're reaching with your book. How are you reaching them? It can be anything from doing a kind of going on the speaking circuit, doing a series of talks and a book tour sponsored by this brand. You're getting paid a couple $1,000s for every appearance. Or it can be the case of one particular author. She's in the health and wellness space. She wrote about several different supplements in her book that you should be taking. So a supplement company sponsored the book and she does webinars. She gets paid to do these webinars on behalf of the company to educate distributors, educate salespeople, educate the public about the value of these supplements. And of course, everyone who attends gets a free copy of her book that's paid for by the brand and the author gets royalties. It's an amazing, amazing way to make money off of your book. And it's part of my process here at the Entrepreneur's Wordsmith.
Creative. I've not really heard that monetization strategy spelled out like that before. Now, do you? Because I'm thinking of like a client of mine that just released a book, and he's building his personal brand through it, and he's been using it to get like local television media appearances as well. Well, what do you see as like? Do you think that's still valuable to leverage for television media and just throw it on your website as prestige builder? Or what do you see as like the most valuable ways to leverage the book in a short amount of time? And I know we've hit on a few, but maybe just like list them real quick.
Sure thing. So I think it really comes down to what's your objective, what's your goal for your book. If you're building a personal brand, then visibility is going to be key to get as many people to know who you are as possible. So using a book to book media appearances is going to be extraordinarily valuable. If in the case of a digital entrepreneur who sells maybe mentorships, courses, programs, digital products, information products, then something like maybe a free plus shipping funnel that we could set up for you, that would be insanely valuable to get you, you know, free leads basically for your business, or, you know, a few cents here, a couple of bucks here and there to get leads who, you know, they get a copy of your book and they're now in your funnel. So I think what your objective is as a business person, your aspiration and goal is beyond the book. That then determines how we promote your book, what type of appearances you need to get, which sponsorship makes sense, et cetera.
So we've got to close it up because we're hitting the top of the hour. But I understand. I mean, this is kind of an interesting sort of way to generate income as well, which is you're setting up a course now to help other ghostwriters with making money. And this is really fascinating because I talk about niche. I've never seen anyone do this. Could you talk a little bit about your what you're doing here?
Absolutely, absolutely. When I started my freelance writing business, back at the time it was a freelance writing business. Now it's obviously a professional ghostwriting firm. 8 years ago, my first freelance writing gig paid $1.67 an hour. I guess you could say, breakthroughed, leapt forward, moonshotted my way to where I am now, really at the top of my profession. And where I am now, I see a lot of aspiring ghostwriters. Maybe they're not even freelance writers yet. They're copywriters, they're marketing strategists. They want to break into the big money ghostwriting world where projects can kind of feed your family literally for months at a time, if not years at a time. You know, the mid five-figure, high five-figure projects. And there's several myths about ghostwriting, what it takes to be a successful ghostwriter, that I debunk over at ghostwriteandprosper.com. They're the seven ghostwriting myths that basically keep you broke as F if you're an aspiring ghostwriter. There's a mentorship that I've built along with that teaches you some of the components about, for example, how to negotiate higher rates, how to find quality clients who respect your work, how to have long-term relationships, not these kind of once-off projects to write this article or that article, but how to get the big book deals. All of that's part of the mentorship, but the free content initially is how to debunk these seven myths to start making the big money as a ghostwriter. Check that out over at ghostwriteandprosper.com.
Now, can we expect a book on ghostwriting to be released one day in the future? Will you write a book about ghostwriting?
I like that.
That'd be kind of cool. That's kind of meta.
Oh, meta, indeed. I'm actually working on a book myself, you know, taking my advice once again, one from the author to the ghostwriter to the author. That's under wraps right now, but, you know, maybe in a few, you'll have me back on and you'll be hearing about that book in the future.
Yeah.
Let me guess. It's a dirty story about a dirty man and his loving wife doesn't understand because he wants to be a paperback writer. Is that, am I on the right track?
You're close.
Now you have before we wrap here, we're pretty much done here, but, so it looks like you in your photo here, I see with your family, how old's your son there? Cause I have a 1 year old.
He is almost 15 months old.
My son is 15 months old. My son was born, May of 2018. So I think we have very similar age.
Oh, wow.
Children.
So was ours.
Okay. Well, he's already 15 months old. So yours is probably a week younger than mine.
Maybe ours are May 30th.
May 21st.
How cool. Is that your only one? Do you have more than one?
Yeah, that's our first little guy. Our first little one.
Cool. Nice. Righteous. Well, listen, I really, really appreciate you, stopping by, you know, please, you know, if there's, if any of our listeners, can we connect with you on, where's the best place to find you? Can we connect with you on LinkedIn, your website?
Yeah. Where else can we reach you? Yeah.
So head over to my website at entrepreneurswordsmith.com. Entrepreneurs is plural. Word and Smith are, well, Wordsmith, entrepreneurswordsmith.com. There's a really cool book revenue calculator that can help you determine with pretty accurate numbers what you can expect to make off of your book if you launched today, given where your brand is right now, your business is right now. That's at entrepreneurswordsmith.com. No email sign up required. I'm also over at LinkedIn. I publish a lot of articles on there. And then, of course, I have almost 100 trainings on book writing, publishing, and marketing on my YouTube channel. All you got to do is just search Joshua Lysak on YouTube and you'll find me.
Nice.
And we'll put that in the show notes so that you don't have to spell it. So you don't have to worry about the plurals and whatnot. We'll have that all in the show notes.
Yeah. Well, you got it going on, man. And really appreciate it. And yeah, we'll probably have you back on the show at some point. And when we finally get our book done, or we just get tired of not writing it.
Yeah. Maybe you're the one that's going to write our book, but you can't tell anybody.
Fun times, guys. I've enjoyed my chat with you today.
Anyway, thank you once again. And Joshua Lysak, everybody.
Our thanks to Joshua Lysak today for an amazing interview with tons of incredible insights. If you have any interest in having a book professionally ghostwritten, I highly suggest that you go and check out Joshua's websites. We will have both of those websites that he mentioned listed in the show notes. So go ahead and reference the show notes for that information. But yeah, that was an incredible experience. There's so much value from what he had to say. And writing a book goes so much deeper than just selling books. Absolutely loved talking with Joshua Lysak today.
Yeah, and we also want to give a shout out. Each week, we want to kind of recognize other podcasters in the field that are providing value and doing it in a little bit of a different way than we're doing it. So we wanted to give a shout out to the podcast Authentic Influence and its host, Adam Connor, over there at the podcast. And they're run by a company called Vivoom. But what's different about them is they also cover marketing, but they're going more on the corporate side, where we're more like entrepreneurial. We're talking about like starting businesses. He's over there interviewing like the chief marketing executives for companies like Pepsi, for major companies out there. And if you're interested in learning about like the corporate side of marketing, I think that's a great resource to check out.
Yeah, absolutely. And he gave us a super nice shout out. Thank you, man. Very, very kind. So yeah, go check out his podcast. I think that if you get the marketing thing going, like you're into it, you want to find out how the big boys do it, definitely check out his podcast.
Yeah, Authentic Influence.
Also, a podcast that I would love to I'm kind of geeky about right now is it's called The Dream, and it's actually about Amway. So if you are so inclined, it's like a mini series, but they talk about. They really dig into the history of Amway, where it came from, like its influence. It's very fascinating. So I would definitely check that out. So,
What else are you geeky about, man? What else? What else is going on?
Oh my God. What do I got?
How about the Star Wars trailer, episode 9?
Yeah, I am still definitely not excited about it. I'm just kind of like, it was like images flashing on a screen with some Star Wars people in it. I don't know.
The only thing interesting is that they tease like evil Rey. And we're talking about Rey, the character Rey, and they tease her being like evil. That was somewhat interesting. They did the same thing in the Last Jedi.
I don't
care
about any of those characters. I don't care about them. I just don't. Sorry. And I don't know. I mean, I'm going to watch it. Of course, I'm going to see it. But you know what actually I am excited about? The Mandalorian. That looks dope as hell. That actually looks like I could sink my teeth into it. Jon Favreau, we're actually, the Netherlands is going to be one of the first countries that they're going to roll out Disney Plus to.
That's not fair. That is not fair.
Yeah, and they're including, get this, they're including 5.1 surround sound, Dolby Atmos and HD streaming all included in the basic price, which is like, $4 cheaper than Netflix.
It sounds like a slam dunk, but I'm thinking about buying their stock, and that's going to jinx the entire company. Disney's going under if I do that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe you should say you're going to buy some stock, and then I'll buy it.
I like that. I like that. You short it. You short the stock, I say I buy it.
Split the proceeds. For the proceeds with you. What else is happening, man? There's actually a few things that I wanted to cover at the end, but I just wanted to also thank my lovely wife Iris, who is keeping us together and on track, and that is super great. And anything else we got going on, man? Is that it?
Well, I also want to give a shout out to Iris because before Iris, I think we'd schedule out what, like 5 days in advance. And now we're scheduled out through the end of 2019 into the beginning of 2020.
Dude, January's booked now. We got January. And in some cases we're doing two shows a week, which is, it's kind of nuts.
It's cool though. It's kind of nuts. So those are the rare ones, but yes.
But if any of our seven listeners have an idea for a you know, you think that someone would make a great guest, or you think you'd make a great guest, by all means, you know, write to.
And we're still going to be doing the news episodes. Maybe not as frequently as we thought we were, but we're going to be doing those news episodes. So
one way or another, we're constantly tweaking and improving the show, and one of these days. I don't know, man. One of these days, I think we'll get our own book written.
Yeah,
personally. And with that, another fine episode of Marketing Geeks comes to a close. What are you geeky about this week, man?
I'm geeky about writing a chapter of the book by next week. That's what I'm geeky about.
Dude, we should really do that, because I have a feeling that somebody out there would actually enjoy what we have to say.
Yeah, right? I think there's got to be somebody out there that would care about, like, the way we say it, what we have to say. Maybe, maybe not, though. I don't know.
Maybe, because I don't really care what you say.
Well, I don't care what you say.
Yeah? Well, fine then.
Oh, man. Fine. This podcast is done. This is over.
That's it. No, man. Rap battle.
All right, we'll rap battle it out.
Write a diss track.
That's right.
Who wants a diss track for you?
If you want to see us rap battle, go ahead and email us at info@marketinggeekspodcast.com and we'll consider.
If we get one person saying they want a rap battle, we're going to totally do it. So I just want to see people's loyalty, where they lay. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, another fine episode of the Marketing Geeks. And with that,
stay classy.